All right, and welcome to Out From the Cube. We're on episode 138, and a special guest. I'm going to go ahead and say it's a special guest, but it's been a guest that's been with us for 50 or so episodes of the 138. And it's almost this happened by accident a little bit. Jason actually just picked up the phone as I was driving. No, I was actually at work, and Jason had called me and said, well, I'm just going to pick up the phone and call you then, was kind of, I think, what he said. But I recorded an episode Wednesday, Thursday last week. So a week or so ago, I recorded an episode and made reference to Coach Jason and said, I need my next episode will have him, and was going to reach out to Jay. And then he reached out to me. We made arrangements. And so welcome back, Coach Jay, to the Out From the Cube episode. And again, 138. And I bet you've been on 50 of those. I'm willing to bet. So you've been on easily a third of it.
I tell you this, I'm impressed that you actually know which episode it is. So, you know, we'll start with that. It doesn't matter how many I'm on. It matters that you know exactly what episode you're on.
So we're on 138. We've done probably the last, 20 or so have been just me, because I do have a new job, have a lot going on personally, and finding the time in the day to schedule guests, get guests on and all that. But the reality is, if I look at my number, the most listened to and most viewed episodes of our Out From the Cube are the ones with you. So you are the only guest that I need. The only guest that I need. I was thinking about this yesterday, driving around actually. And I know the answers to these questions, and they're just random answers. And I'm hoping that your answers kind of coincide with my answers. We have known each other now for maybe three or four years, I'm guessing. Somewhere in there. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, let's call it three.
Okay.
I've been in St. Louis for three, so not
perfect.
Long
there it is.
I was here. Yeah.
Yep. So I didn't know you before you got here. Now, when's the last time you and I have sat down face to face in person and spent any time together?
Oh man, face to face 7-8 months ago. It was summer of last year, early summer of last year, when we sat down at Granite City Pub.
We sat down at Granite City. I thought it was longer than that. I thought maybe it's been a year or so. So that's fine. We're somewhere in the same ballpark. And when's the last time, other than the phone call that you sent me the other day, when's the last time you and I have actually spoken with one another?
When we recorded the last podcast.
Right.
So I'm going to say at least 3 or 4 months ago, maybe even more than that.
I think it's probably been longer than that.
So you're probably right. It's been face-to-face has been closer to a year, and podcast has been probably 5 months or so.
Yeah. So it has been a while. And those questions lead me to this. I don't know if there's anybody that's been more impactful in my life over the past 3 years since I've known you, because I think a lot of the things that you have, that you're passionate about, the things that you're trying to teach young athletes and in the line of work that you were in, that trickle down to my children and actually trickle down to me, which then trickle down to the groups that I work with, right? Yeah. There's always something. So that's been very impactful. And I say all that because the people that impact us in our lives, it may not be a day-to-day thing. It may not be a weekly thing. It may not be, my hope would be is that the people that we impact in our lives, are people that you just have maybe one conversation with, or people from three or four, like 3 years ago you impacted me, but then we spent a 2 or 3 nights a week face-to-face. And now you continue to impact me, and we haven't been face-to-face for over a year, and we haven't had a conversation for the past 6 months. So I say that because, one, I guess kind of shower some praise on you, but then also though, like, you don't need to be day-to-day with the people that matter the most to you. Like, and you matter to me. Like, you matter to me on a daily basis, even though I haven't talked to you in 5 or 6 months and haven't seen you in over a year, right? And I think that's true for everybody, or it should be. I hope the people listening to this have those people in their lives that are like that, right? And I was thinking about that yesterday, how important you are to me.
I would actually, yes, and first off, thank you. I appreciate that. I definitely agree with that. And I would also challenge that, not just you and I, but for all of those people that you're making this recognition of the relationships that may be like that, but also challenge you to make it a little more frequent that there are intentional face-to-face or intentional phone calls. Like I said yesterday, no exaggeration, bro. I was driving, and you were on my mind, and I said, you know what, I'm not going to text, I'm not going to email, I'm going to pick up the phone. If he answers, great. If he doesn't answer, great, but I'm not, you know, I was just, I'm going to be intentional about this connection. So that would be the challenge behind it. Yes, I think they're great for us to have those relationships like that, but I think we should also be more intentional on making sure that we have connection as well.
So let me, yeah, and I appreciated the phone call quite a bit. We've been doing this now. I know we've been through two, we haven't been through like full calendar years, but our conversations have touched now. This would be our third calendar year that our conversations in the podcast format have touched. And I can't speak for certainty on this. I don't remember 2018's word of the year that you had, but I know 2019 was connection. Yep. And so I want to start this off because it's February 4th or 5th right now, and this is our first conversation on tape for 2020. Let me ask this then. What is 2018? What was your word of the year for 2018?
2018 was jump.
Jump, that's right. And you actually did that when you jumped out of an airplane in Arizona. So that's right, jumping into it, and then you had the connection last year. Do you have a word of the year for 2020?
Absolutely. It's build.
Build. Okay, yeah, so
just a quick small adjustment. So connect, and the intentionality behind connect over connection is I do my best to, if I go that route, to make those words be verbs, words that action words that so connect over connection.
Gotcha. Yeah. That's perfect.
So build over building or something like that.
Yep. So tell me how you came up with build as your word for 2020.
Man, it really, just like the other words, it came organically, and it pretty much came at the tail end of the previous year, kind of how the year wrapped up and things started to play out. And so the vision that I have when I say build are the three main areas that I want to do for this year or starting this year. Number one is I want to build, continue building my relationship, my personal relationship, romantic relationship. And just build that in a way where we're each growing. I'm growing for her. She's growing for me. We're growing for each other. That's the first way. The second way build played out was to build this team of this Jason Wells experience that we're going into from a business venture. And then the third one was I want to build and be a part of businesses and invest in businesses that are going to inspire and empower the world. So my big audacious goal for 2020 is to financially invest into a business or some businesses that are a little bit out of my wheelhouse, let's say. So, yeah.
Now, do you still do something every day centered around those words? Like, because I know you spend your money, you're very deliberate, intentional about your mornings and your, which I need to make, I need to do a better job of myself. Is there a focus that you do in the mornings on that word, on that phrase, on that mindset to gear you up for the day?
It's not necessarily a focus, an intentional focus on that word, but everything that I do still plays back to knowing that that's the word. So, you know, how I plan out my days, whether it's the previous night or whether it's the morning of, everything still plays back into, is this building my relationship? Is this building my team? Or is this putting me in a situation to be able to build those businesses?
Yeah, okay. We never know where these conversations will go. And listen, Coach Jay and I haven't talked for a while. We haven't talked for a while. And I tell you, I love him. I love my time with Coach Jay. And we could sit here. It is 12:20. It is 12:32. We could probably go till 4 or 5, right? But I know we can't. But let me ask you this. My word of the year is really kind of, I guess, a phrase. I want to raise my standards. I really want to. So my first 2018, I really wanted to spend time being focused on being more self-aware, what I wanted, who I wanted to be, how I wanted to get there, not being embarrassed on who I wanted to be, not taking that criticism. It was really leveraged upon a lot of the content I was consuming from Gary Vaynerchuk. And his thing was like, just be who you are, you know. And I know you have a phrase that you've said to me many times about, you know, do you, just be you. And I take that to heart. Like, I'm not going to apologize for who I am, what I want, the direction I'm going, who I want to be there with, and the decisions. I kind of wanted to be centered around being just who I am. Last year was more about just trying to take action on things, being, a podcast I did, and it still resonates with me, was being compelled to do something and having it be on my heart or mind, but never taking actions on things that I'm compelled to do. So I wanted to be more action oriented. And so what you saying that your words are more, you're more intentional about having your words be verbs, so they're more action oriented, is great. My word this year is just raising my standards. In really everything I do, you know, it was definitely like relationship and house and being a father in my community and, you know, being more, you know, having the groups that I work with, having them raise their standards and what that may look like and sound like and feel like, raising my standards at work, all that sort of stuff. And so I just paint that a picture because of this. Man, I lose sight of that every day, every day, every day. Like I still get up really early. You know, my alarm went off this morning at like 4:35, and I was kind of moving around, but my standards for my mornings or my intention, being intentional about my mornings or my day or prepping my day or thinking about, you know, my kids and my girlfriend and all this other stuff. So I can raise my standard is still really bad. It's just, you know, with my language, but it's just shitty. It's just not what it needs to be. Right. And so all that, because when I asked you about building, how do you do that every day? When you say everything you do is going to be centered around, you know, building those three things, you know, a business, your relationships, or, you know, you yourself or whatever it might be. How do you do that every day? Like, how is that so intentional with everything you do?
Yeah, that's a great question. But it just stems around the fact, like, even as you said that, and because again, for me, it's just me. So I'm not even necessarily looking at it the way that you are, but even listening to you say it just then, the word that comes to mind is simplicity. So I don't even necessarily look at those three things as three things. I guess there's this continuous flow of, you know, one word build and how that plays into a bigger picture and how that plays back into one word build. And so the intentionality behind it is really simple for me. Are the things that I'm planning on doing during the course of that day playing into either one of those three categories, if I choose to look at it that way, or is it playing back into the word build if I choose to look at it that way? Mm-hmm. And pun intended, the purpose behind it is very simple. If it doesn't, then I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
Mm. And you know, there's some things that go around of you know, I've been having a lot of meetings lately. Just meeting with people, growing the business. I feel like there's when I get face to face with people like me. So just being really intentional about connecting and growing that funnel, you know, if we were to use the sales lingo.
Yeah.
But also behind that too is, and just being honest, realizing that every meeting isn't going to be an influential meeting. And sometimes it takes two or three or four meetings to realize, hey, this we don't need to keep meeting and not having anything come out of the meeting. And sometimes it only takes once to where, you know, this isn't going to be anything where I'm going to grow or you're going to grow. So there's no need to continue wasting each other's time, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
And then also on the flip side, sometimes it takes two or three or four meetings to realize the greatness of the opportunity. So, I say all that to say, again, I just do the best I can to be purposeful and intentional on even in those things that may seem either mundane or may seem like, you know, they're not serving a purpose right then. You know, maybe it's not a purpose right at this second, but maybe it's a purpose at the in the future.
Yeah, that's interesting. Let me ask you this, as you were talking and as I was kind of saying that story and wrapping up before you answered, for whatever reason, this popped into my head. I'm wondering how different my life is in 2020 as it was January 5th of 2018.
February.
Right. February. Yeah. I'm sorry. February. And so that's what I was thinking. I was like, okay, so I've got these words and I'm trying to be real intentional about it and deliberate and passionate about it and kind of serving those words and making my life better. And then I'm, you know, we're already a month into this thing. Like we're already like 1/12 done. Like, we are. And, like, this month's going to fly by. We're going to be, like, this quarter's going to be wrapping up, and we're halfway through the first quarter. And, you know, how different am I? How improved am I? The first thing that popped into my head was, I wonder if 2018 George, February 14th, would be proud of 2020 George, right? Like, I pose that question back to you. 3 years. We've done a lot in 3 years. We've had words and phrases. We've met people. We've had all this. Our lives have changed. I think it's significantly different 2018 to 2020. How proud would 2018 Jason Wells of February 5th be where you're at now?
Not even a comparison.
Not even a comparison. Not even close.
Not even a comparison of the level of proudness.
Really?
Because 2018, Jason jumped into something that he didn't know much about. Mm. 2019, Jason connected with himself and with other people, mainly with myself. Mm. And then 2020, Jason is already 35 days into the year, building on what I would like the future to be. And so again, just that intentionality and that purpose of here's the simplicity of that one word, and making sure that everything I do ties back to that one word, however many different branches. I mean, a tree only has one trunk, but the number of branches is infinite, depending on the type of tree. And so my word is going to be the trunk, and no matter how many branches I have that grow off of that, it's everything's going to come back to that word. And so, yeah, purpose. I know exactly.
Do you sit back though and say, like, hey, I would hope that in my heart I could sit there and say, shit, man, 2018 George to 2020, like, this has been amazing. He'd be super proud. Or I'm 46 now, 36 year old George. Man, this is a dream. Like, what I'm doing now, like, this is everything you hope for. But I'm sitting around now going, shit, this ain't good enough, man. Like, I'm capable of more. This isn't like I'm like you got like I can do better than this. Like, I can impact. I can.
What's wrong with that, though?
Right. There's probably nothing wrong. It's wanting more, wanting to achieve more, be better, you know, improve more, impact more, have better relationship, like all that, you know.
So none of that statement that you made about I could be doing more, or there could be more, without a doubt.
Right.
2018, 19, and 20, Jason feels that. But where I am, and again, a lot of these things, like, nothing substantial has happened financially. I do feel like I'm in a much different place of understanding business and how to grow my business and things like that. It's really how I feel about me. And how I feel about me, 2018 Jason, 2019 Jason, shoot, February 4th, which was yesterday, right. Jason versus February 5th. Like, there I have.
That's actually big. I think I'm sorry I interrupted you. I think that is that's what I've been waiting on. Right. Yeah. That's the answer, right? It's not. Man, there's always more. There's always more people. There's more relationships. There's more value and impact that we can provide to businesses and each other and our relationships and all that. But Jason just said something really profound. I'm going to make sure I read through this and write it back down. But it's how he feels about himself.
Yeah.
It's how you feel about yourself, like the 20, like the value, the impact that you're having, the relationships you have, how you value and how you, the perspective you have on those relationships. That's it, right? Right? It's how you feel about yourself.
Yeah. And there is no,
that's important.
You know, you don't have to be, we're competitors. Most people are competitors, whether it's from an athletic space or a business space or an athletic space that branched into a business space. Most people are competitive to some extent. It's one of the reasons that I've truly enjoyed going to Orange Theory, which is a plug for them. It's the workout that I do. Mm-hmm. I'm not even necessarily a fan of the workouts. I have become a fan of, actually, a lady asked me this yesterday. I went to a networking event yesterday, and she walked up to me. She recognized me from another event, and she's like, you know, I'm a former athlete, and do you still play? And I was like, no, not really. I competitively picked up a basketball. I played in a 40 and over league for a minute. I'll mess around with a couple of the athletes that I work with on the court, but really picking up the ball to play, I haven't picked up the ball to play in years. And she's like, well, how do you do it? And it comes to find out she does Orange Theory as well. And I posted a post maybe 10 days ago. The thing that attracts me most about Orange Theory is that every day there are people to my left and to my right, but my competition is never with them. It's with the person that's in the mirror. Because there's all, like, I can always say, oh, well, I've been a professional athlete for 13 years, so that's why you're running faster than me, because I have more miles on my body than you have. Or you run for a living, so that's why you run a 7-minute mile and I run a 9-minute mile. But the actuality of it is, left or right to me on the treadmill or the rower or the floor, my competition isn't with them. It's with the person that I'm looking at in the mirror. And so, yeah, like when I've taken and been more intentional about my one-ups. You remember my one-ups?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right. Yep.
And those one-ups have been, how am I going to intentionally attack my day to make sure that I'm 1% better? And then just asking myself, and again, this is a question that I ask myself and ask my lady, is like, what was the best thing about your day? And asking yourself and acknowledging what was the best thing. You may have had a bad day, but what was the best part about that bad day? And focusing on that best part, I'm just in a different place. And it's totally about me, not anybody else.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's kind of, I won't be able to articulate this well. So I've been thinking about our conversation today, and something has come up. And I was going to ask you about this and decided it's not a big deal, but I just decided not to. I thought I'd go a different direction with some of the questions for you today. But as I was driving around yesterday, the theme in my mind was this. You have a phrase that I have stolen and used many times, and it is don't compare, compete. And I have used that so many times. And then for whatever reason, that is that phrase, your phrase of don't compare, compete. One, I have used it a lot recently. Two, when I've said that to some people about not comparing, because I'm working with some young athletes, and those athletes will sit there and compare themselves to other people. And the phrase you would use is, hey, you can't compare yourself. You know, your journey's different.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, if you're going to compare yourself to, you know, like, you know, to this kid who's been, his journey started 3 years ago. Your journey's sure. Just starting. And even though you're the same age, can't do that, right? Yeah. It's the same thing professionally with many things. But then you always said compete. And I've liked that. But then I heard this the other day was, well, if you're competing, then I want what's for me more than I want you to actually not do well, because I'm competing against you. And so there's this thing like, hey, if you and I are competing, I would prefer you not to do well and me do well and all that, where you're kind of getting in the way of some of the things that I actually believe of, kind of this, you know, in the cloud fluffy type stuff of, you know, abundance. Like, hey, there's enough room in this world for you to have a whole bunch of speaking engagements and do coaching and some business executive type stuff. And also me. Right? There's plenty. So I should root for you. But if we're competing, that takes that out of it. So when I thought about asking you that and what your response might be, I felt, and this was a conversation I had in my head yesterday, that you would say, no, George, the competition is with you, you and your improvement and your development. It's not that you're competing against somebody else and want them to do poorly. So you shine. You should have them do well. It's do you understand that when we think of the word competition, we think of you win, I lose. You win, I lose. That's competition. Yeah. When it's yes, there's a winner and loser in most of the competition we think about, but the competition maybe we're thinking about is a little different.
Yeah. So and this is so funny because I've kind of morphed one of the areas of my journal, and I've started to ask myself what I refer to as connection questions. And so connection questions are questions that I ask myself. And so yesterday's connection question was, what books are on my shelf that I'm dying to read? And The book that I have that immediately came to mind was The Infinite Game by Simon Sinek. And I'm eager to read that book because just looking at a couple of the videos that I know he's posted about that topic, and when he makes reference to people and businesses playing this, making business be this finite game when in actuality it's an infinite game. So football is a finite game. It has four quarters. Everybody knows when the game is over. At the end of those allotted rules, there'll be a winner and a loser. Our relationships are not a finite game. No one says I won at marriage. You know, our life is an infinite game. No one at our funeral or on our deathbed says I won at life. And so his approach is basically we should be treating business the same way. So I say that to say this. Yes, the competition, I believe that the competition does start within yourself. But even when that extends to a competition externally with someone else, think about this, George. At the highest levels of competition, if I'm really a competitor, I want you to be at your best because I want to beat you at your best. Mm-hmm. Like Toronto won the championship last year, but they didn't beat Golden State at their best.
Right.
KD's struggling the whole series. That doesn't necessarily take away from the celebration of we won the championship. But if you're a true competitor, I don't want you to not do well. I want you to be at your best because at the end of the day, I want to beat you at your best. Mm-hmm. So even from that standpoint, and I'll wrap up by saying this. I had a conversation yesterday with one of my parents that has actually kind of default morphed into almost like a business manager for me or business developer for me. And her and I were having this conversation, and it was very simple. I told her, I said, I don't care if you get this personal growth, personal development, personal enhancement from me, you, George, or you, Mike, or you, Sarah. I don't care if you get it from me. I just want you to get it. Mm. And her response to that was very like she's like, that's not the normal response because most people are so competitive that if you're not getting it from me, then I don't want you to get it at all. And that's just not the way I think. It goes back to abundance. It all ties together to me, but my mentality is different. Like, I feel like my abundance comes from not having to play down anybody, but also realizing that I don't have to or should play down myself as well. Me loving myself is not a disrespect to somebody else. Mm.
Yeah, that's funny you say that's funny you say that. I do think it ends up being more of an internal thing where you're just competing, just to improve that 1% that you set every day, that 1%. And I really felt that was kind of the route that you would go.
Think about where that goes, though. Sorry.
You're good.
Think about where that goes, though. That's you started this segment by saying how 2018 George or Jason looks at 2020 George or Jason. Well, if I've gotten, and even if you skip a couple of days, let's just say on average, I've gotten 1% better 300 out of the 365 days from 2018 till now. You know, I've gotten 700% better. If you add those numbers together, I've gotten 700% better in two years. Well, yeah, I'm like, that's a difference.
Man. Do you, and maybe you've already answered this, and I apologize if you have. And do you sense more pride? Do you feel more pride and excitement and gratefulness about what you've done? Or do you feel like, man, I'm still not where I need to be? You know what I mean? Like, I think I spend more time beating myself up on the flaws that I still have, the things I still haven't improved upon. I beat myself more up on that than kind of this reflective thing going, man, shit, I've done well. Like, man, I got to keep riding this way. This is amazing. Look at what I've done. Look who I was. Look who I've been. And then I know who I'm going to become. So it's even going to be more exciting where I sit there and go, man, shit, I am so flawed.
What's your mindset? What are you focusing on? Because what you focus on will manifest.
No question.
And
no question.
Whether you're talking Abraham and Esther Hicks or whether you're talking,
I've got those books. I've got those books. And I was going to fly. When you said that, I was like, well, that's got to be a biblical character. But I've got those books, man.
Yeah. It's whatever. And but here's the thing, though, George, is so those things have become so cliche that I truly feel like people don't believe in them. I watched something just yesterday where it was talking about purpose, and the person who was talking was like, look, I understand that some of you are going to be so engulfed in your business or so engulfed in your relationship or your life or whatever you, that you think that you're not at a point where you can focus on purpose. So be it. At some point, you will focus on purpose, whether it's, God forbid, you're on your deathbed or what. So I'll show you this. This has been my new thing. So I have, it's a cup of marbles.
Yep.
In my little Hamilton cup. So actually, there's two cups of marbles.
Gotcha.
So this is how it starts, and this is how it finishes. And so I have a card in this one. So each time I reach out and make some form of connection with the person, I told you I'm really big on making sure that I'm in front of people, and people at least know what I do to be able to make a decision on whether or not they want to work with me or not. Whether it's through LinkedIn, whether it's a text message, whether it's an email, whether it's setting up a meeting, every time I make an intentional connection, I throw a marble into the other cup. And so at the end of the day, I have a tangible visual of, here's how many connections I've made during the course of the day. So I'm not a sales guy, but if we talk sales funnel, if I need to secure 4 engagements, then I need to have 8 one-on-one meetings. If I need to have 8 one-on-one meetings, I need to have 20 phone calls, 50 emails, 50, you know what I mean? Like, I'm learning that now. And so this is just my visual behind it. And you know, we can kind of morph into something that you just mentioned, and I know it's still on everybody's heart, but the Kobe thing and the purpose thing. Why do we have to wait until there's a tragedy before all of us just see each other as people and just treat each other as people? And I sat there last Friday night and watched the Lakers tribute to him, Usher sang, the guy played the, I don't know what instrument it was, whatever string instrument it was.
When, cello, I think it was a cello.
Yeah, I knew it wasn't the violin. And I'm holding hands with my lady, and both of us, but me more, like, I'm stuck. I got tears rolling down my face, and I'm literally stuck, but my inability to move, I was mesmerized by, in that moment, nobody cared about black or white. Nobody cared about Democrat or Republican. Nobody cared about gay or straight. Nobody cared about Trump or not. Nobody cared about millennial or baby boomer. Nobody cared about any of that. We all just cried. Right. And that's like, why does it take that? Why does it take 9/11 for that to happen? Why does it take a global icon dying tragically for that to happen? Why can't we? And it's been 10 days now, and I'm sure in another 2 weeks or 3 months or however long it takes, we'll go back to just being who we are. But I feel like we should spend more time remembering those moments where, think about this, George, 3 major dynamics of people. You had people who were Kobe fans and Laker fans. You have people who were Kobe haters and Laker haters. Maybe they, you know, Celtics fans, Sixer fans, Cavs fans, whatever. And then you had another group of people who may have recognized Kobe's name, but weren't basketball fans, weren't Kobe fans. I recognize the name, but he's really nothing to me. All 3 of those groups shared tears together.
Yeah.
People who loved them, people who hated them, people who didn't even know them. All of them have shared tears. Like that's impact.
That's impact. I wanted to cycle to this because I do think it'll be a theme and something that will be brought up in all the episodes we do moving forward, because I think we could start a podcast and do 1-hour episodes, and we could probably fill up years dissecting Kobe Bryant and the impact that he had, the Mamba mentality, all this sort of stuff. But let me ask you this. It happened on a Sunday, and I talked about you in my last episode when I talked about Kobe and where I was, what I was doing, and kind of the first after the shock and the sadness and all this, after watching it nonstop for 3 or 4 days, I had something on my heart about that experience. And so that was what I ended up talking about now. And I'll share that with you to get your opinion on it. But once you got past that shock, let me ask this. Let me ask a few questions. I think it's important. What did Kobe mean to you? What did he mean to you, you know, prior to him passing away and reflecting on that? But when you a month ago, if I were to say, you know, what's Kobe Bryant mean to you, Jason?
Yeah. So I'll answer that in two brief ways, as briefly as possible. So first thing is, again, me and my lady, we're talking and she's like, in us sharing tears, she's like, man, if you would have asked me 4 days ago, how would you feel if Kobe died? It's like, I'd be upset, but, you know, I wouldn't say that it would affect my day or whatever. We both agree with that. And here it is, we're both stuck, like can't move stuck. So that's part of it. And the other part of it is Kobe's younger than me. We played at the same time pretty much, but I never modeled my game after Kobe or looked at Kobe like, you know, here's what I want to do. Yes, the Mamba mindset became something that he was known for. But from a basketball standpoint, I always respected Kobe, but he wasn't somebody that I, you know, wanted to be like or modeled my game after or anything like that. I have studied 3-year post-retirement Kobe, post-basketball Kobe, more than I studied the 20 plus years of basketball Kobe by a long shot. Mm. And
let me step in. And I credit you with not making me, but modeling for me that study of Kobe, because you mentioned that to me 3 years ago or three or, you know, two and a half years ago. You mentioned that to me. I think you kind of said, hey, like you need to be doing this or follow what he's doing now. Yeah. And I started doing that. All the video, all the content I could find on Kobe, the Lewis Howe episodes and all this other stuff that he was doing. There was some event in the past 6 or 8 months where he was on stage black tie with another guy where it was phenomenal. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And that filled in, those were filling notebooks. I credit you with my, cause I agree with you. I did more study of him. Now, obviously I wasn't studying his game. I might have from a coaching standpoint. I wasn't studying his game to model anything. I'm sure, didn't have that ability. But I cut you off. I'm sorry.
No, here's a pain point for me. And this is just me being transparent and me being honest, open and honest. Here's a pain point for me is in these last 10 days, I almost feel like because now everybody's starting to attach themselves to Kobe was so much more than a basketball player. So they're watching his videos and I'm almost like, man, that was my secret weapon. You know what I mean? Like that was my secret because people were so attached. Even when the helicopter first crashed and the tragedy first happened and ESPN is running things and all these, tickers across the bottom of the TV screen and it was 18-time All-Star, this many time champion and this many time MVP. And it was just like, man, I'm sitting there. I literally had to stop it. You mentioned watching it for 3 or 4 days in a row. I watched it for Sunday, got as much information as I could and sporadically through Monday, and I didn't watch much about it at all until that Friday when we sat there and watched the tribute, because I didn't want to, this is going to go, I'm not going to let it go down a path, but like my relationship with death may be different from most people in that I don't want to remember the person the way that you want me to remember. I want to remember the person the way I want to remember. And so, I didn't even go to my dad's funeral because I didn't want to see him like that. I wanted to remember him the way that I last remembered him in my visual. And my visual would have not allowed, if I would have seen him in another state, that would have been my last visual, and I didn't want that to be that. So, it's just, I don't want to hear how anybody else remembers Kobe. I want to remember Kobe how I remember Kobe.
Yeah. How big was Kobe athletically, like, you know, height, weight, and all that sort of stuff?
6'6". 6'6", somewhere around 200, 210.
Yeah. How tall are you?
6'8". Relative, we're basically the same body.
You are. That's where. So I'm going somewhere. So I'm interested in this. Like, yeah, you are the same size. I know how you're built, and I know your athletic skill. I've seen you, you know, play. I've seen you work out. I have an opinion on your athleticism and what you're, you know, you're capable of athletically in terms of basketball. And I see, so I am actually surprised that you wouldn't try to model your game after him, because I see a similarity in that. And there's a question to this. The question, I guess, is same size. Is there something, and did God bless him with more athleticism, or was there a mindset he had that just separated him that much from everybody? Right? Did God, God blessed him? Did God, when you compared you and him in terms of an athlete, did God bless him that much more than you?
Me and him?
Yes.
He had a different physical skill set. I feel like he was more all around athletic than I. Like, I'm athletic, relatively speaking, but like, some of the things that he did physically, dunks that he did and things like that, but at the same time, a lot of that goes back to mentality. So yeah. I can also say that I wouldn't have ever done those things because my mind wouldn't have ever necessarily thought those things. So who knows if I ever.
Yeah. So that's the thing, you know, and so here's the point, not to go off on this great big personal development rant, but man, in many respects, we're all the same. Right. You could say, hey, you know, 6'7", 6'8", I'm gifted athletically. And I had maybe some of the same athletic gifts that Kobe was blessed with. But you, as you just said, he had a different mentality with things. And, you know, there's probably people that are very similar to me in terms of business or, you know, leading and directing teams and doing all these different things. But their mindset is just different. They have a different mindset, work ethic, habits, rituals, strategies, tactics, support, resources that separate them. You know, when the groups that I coach and work with, I call them separators. You know, that require no blessing from God or the thing about, you know, like I say, you may disagree with this, but I try to kind of make a point. God blessed LeBron James. He's 6'8", 260 and can run, you know, a 4'6", 40 and can play a bunch of, like, God blessed him. I'm not sure the blessings that God may have given to like a Steph Curry, meaning that you could be Steph Curry. I try to convey to these kids and these athletes. Like 6'2". Many of you are going to end up being 6'2". But it's what you – and that could be the blessing. But the blessing is like your work ethic, your habits, your rituals, how bad you want it, the Mamba mentality, right? And so I was kind of probing you for, yeah, Kobe and I were very similar athletically, same body types, same athleticism in terms of maybe a skill set. But he got to a different level – because of a mindset, because of habits, because of, you know, a resource or, you know, whatever it might be. You kind of understand my point. Yeah, I don't know if you do.
Blessings are blessings across the board. And I feel like what we do, it goes back to the comparing and the competing, which, by the way, I wish I was that smart. That's a PGC thing that I adapted just as much as you adapted.
I credit you with it.
But anyway, it goes back to the comparing versus competing. Like, I can't compare my blessings to, even if you use those two people that you just used, Steph Curry and LeBron James. Steph Curry's blessings are not LeBron James's blessings, but that doesn't take away from Steph Curry's blessings. So Steph Curry wasn't blessed with 6'8", 260. Steph Curry was blessed with being able to have a dad that played in the NBA. Let's call that a blessing because that's what it was, which means that he was in an NBA environment from the time that he can walk, which means he watched his dad and was able to build on what his dad did. Like, Steph Curry's blessings are endless in their own right. Damn. And, you know, even from a Kobe standpoint, like, George, I feel like I'm just different. Of course I watched Michael when I was younger and emulated him and, you know, yelled Michael Jordan when I was shooting fadeaways, just like many millennials yell Kobe when they're shooting their fadeaways. But I modeled my game off of people. Those guys were like almost unattainable. Kobe was unattainable. I looked at that as unattainable. I didn't want to be unattainable. MJ was unattainable. I wanted to be guys where I wanted to model my game after people that I felt like were attainable. So Scottie Pippen was my favorite player growing up because his versatility, the way he played offense, defense, shot the ball. He wasn't a great shooter, but you couldn't leave him open. He wasn't a great ball handler, but you're not going to take the ball from him. Kevin Garnett would be the guy that I played in the same window as that I would say from a mentality standpoint, from a physical standpoint, modeled my game after. So, there's so many things. There's so many things to that. But even recognition of blessings goes back to comparing because we can't compare blessings because we'll always come up short. My blessings aren't your blessings.
Yeah, the one word you've used more than anything in the past 2 minutes is modeling. And, you know, if you're listening to this and you're wanting to get to the next level, you know, it's like this is what Jay just said, and this is what I took in. Steph Curry has his blessings, and one of his blessings that he has is that his dad played in the league. And so since he could walk, he was in an NBA arena. But essentially, by being in an NBA arena, since you can walk, is that you are observing and taking in what is possible and how good you could be, and you start modeling what you're seeing. You're seeing greatness, even if it's Del Curry. Del Curry, if you're in the league, you're great. There's different levels of greatness once you're in the league. Like my kid asks me, my kid is an NBA junkie, and he asks me, is so-and-so good? I'm like, he's in the league. He can play. Like, yes, he's good. Now, is he LeBron James good?
Next time he asks you that, you tell him if he's the best basketball player you'll ever see.
But you get a chance to model it. So you're sitting in the world and wanting to be great for your, you know, great in business world, great in entrepreneurship, great as a team leader, great as whatever, like whatever craft or trait or position or responsibility you're trying to get to, you need to find somebody to model that is crushing it, my opinion. Right. And you don't need to know these people in this day and age. You can listen to Ed Milet or Tom Bilyeu or Gary Vee or read John Maxwell or have those discussions. And, you know, you could actually connect with Kobe Bryant with all the content that's out there. Yeah. And those people are the people that you could model and try to emulate one by one, day by day, 1% every day, because it's out there. Because that is the word you said more than anything, the modeling. Modeling. And that's what I tell all the athletic groups that I work with. When I grew up, and Jay, we're close to age, I'm a little bit older than you, but we didn't have YouTube and phones, and we had VHS tapes that if you were lucky to get a championship, you know, one of those championship videotapes of skill development, and you'd put it in the VCR and watch it. I didn't have that, but I would sit there and lean on, you know, going to high school games. You know, I grew up going to high school games so I could watch Quinn Snyder play, because we went to rival high schools and he was older than me, but I would watch him play. It's like, man, that's what greatness looks like, all that sort of stuff. But anyway, this is what I took away from Kobe. And this is what I heard more than anything else. So your word that you've used here recently is modeling. When all this stuff happened with Kobe, and this is what the episode was, and just to get your take on it, the word I heard more than anything last week or over the past 10 days with him, the word was legacy. That seems to be the word I heard most. And I'm doing some John Maxwell training to be, you know, some coaching and teaching and some stuff I'm doing off hours. And one of his, the 21st law in his 21 laws of irrefutable laws of leadership is legacy, the legacy you leave as a leader. And so I had just finished some workshops on that and reading about that. And then Kobe passed away and I kept hearing the word legacy. And so I spent a lot of time talking about what Kobe's legacy, you know, may mean to people. Everybody, his legacy for each group is different. What he left people is different. But essentially what legacy means to me is how you leave things, how you leave people, the impact that you might have. And I ended up talking about the legacy you leave as a leader, and the teams and things of that nature. So that's what it meant to me. Like his passing, it had me really reflecting on his legacy, but it had me really reflecting on me and me, like the legacy I'm leaving to my kids, to my community, to my girlfriend, to my, you know, to the groups that I coach and work with and lead, and to my business and my teams that I work with professionally, that if I were to walk away and my name and somebody said, George, what is thought of? Now we sit and think of Kobe, and you say the name and it immediately will bring up thoughts and adjectives and emotions. That is his legacy to you, right? That's how I kind of look at it. Sure. Whereas somebody says, like, hey, if somebody were to run into me and say, hey, you know, hey, I met somebody named, you know, Jason Wells, I would immediately have a bunch of adjectives and I would have an emotion about you. That's your legacy for me.
Yeah.
That is what you have left me. And I think that stuff's impactful, especially when you start talking about leadership and teams and the people in your that you have relationships and connections with that you talk about. But I just more or less, you know, I don't know if there's a question in there, but it was really my thoughts about what Kobe Bryant's passing meant to me. And it was really about built around the legacy.
So when you, yes, for sure.
Okay.
When you think about that, and when you think about people who have passed away, whether it was, excuse me, whether it was tragically and you know, surprising, or whether it was because of old age and you know, it was natural. Like, let's just throw some names out. Martin Luther King Jr.
Mm-hmm.
John F. Kennedy. In the sports world, guys like Don Shula, Vince Lombardi, John Wooden. In the business world, guys like Steve Jobs, Paul Allen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sitting here being in Missouri, you and I being in Missouri, and I never knew this guy other than at the end of the AFC championship game, he was the guy that they named the trophy after. But apparently, and I actually just told myself that I was going to do some whatever studying I could find of Lamar Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these people left legacies, but not because of any accomplishment that they've had. Yeah, you can talk about Wooden winning as many national championships as he won and in a row, and Lombardi being the name on the Super Bowl trophy, and how Steve Jobs started this company in his garage with his friend. But at the end of the day, the legacy was mentality, work ethic, discipline, consistency, respect. It was all of those principles that we all possess. You talked about blessings earlier, but all they did was do those things that we all possess. No, we're all not 6'8", 280 like LeBron, but we do all possess the ability to have a mindset to want to improve every day, want to improve on the things that we're not very good at, want to continue to get better at the things that we're already good at, and just want to continuously learn. One of my favorite quotes, and it's amazing that you say that, is talking about leaving a legacy. A legacy is not about what you earned, it's about what you learned. When I hear it's about what you learned, the more that I learn, the more that I'm able to give. Like, my dad, as amazing as he was only able to give me what he could. He couldn't give me what he didn't have. And so my ability to give my sons and give the people that I encounter more is to learn as much as I can. And so that's another why I do what I do, is I want to learn as much as I can because I want to give as much as I can.
Boy, that's really good. Put it on a t-shirt.
One of the kids that I work with, which is awesome. So he's in the middle of his season right now. He's 60, 70 miles away. And knowing that he was going, this was back in November when high school season started, and knowing that he was about to go into season and practice was about to start, and we were just going to have limited time to actually get in the gym, his parents reached out to me and said, hey, here's what's about to happen, but we don't want to lose what he's getting from you. Would you be open to having weekly, instead of weekly in gym time, weekly leadership calls with him, coaching calls with him. This is a 16-year-old kid.
Right.
And how we learn, how I teach him, teaching in air quotes, how I teach him is by sending him Evan Carmichael top 10 videos, which I know you're very familiar with.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll send him Kobe Bryant.
Well, I lost you, Jay. Are you there? Coach Jay. Coach. You there? I lost you. Well, we lost him. I'll be able to string this up. Lost you. Come back on. There you are. You're coming back. Yeah. There you are. You're back. Yeah. I got you.
Sorry.
No, you're good.
I don't know what happened. And I can't. Oh, yes, I can see you now. Yep. Let me know if my audio does anything. No, but I just wanted to say where did it cut off?
You were gonna do some. No, you were sending Evan Carmichael videos.
Okay, perfect. So, I have this 16-year-old kid that I'm having these weekly coaching calls with, and that's how I teach him, is by letting an Evan Carmichael video be the catalyst to our conversation. So sent him a Kobe top 10, sent him a Michael Jordan top 10, and this was this most recent call, which was Monday this week. And I asked him, I said, okay, you've studied Kobe, you studied Michael. Tell me the differences that come to mind for you. And he said, Kobe seems to be more about work ethic, and Michael was more about mindset.
Wow.
Whether or not you agree with that.
Right.
This is a 16-year-old kid.
Yeah. I like that.
This is a 16-year-old kid pulling together what resonates with him about, and that's what this is all about. It's like my education is not about regurgitation of irrelevant things. It's about what's going to be most serving to me as an individual, that's going to put me in a situation to be able to learn. And now that I'm able to learn, now I can go give.
Yeah, man. I really like that. I appreciate that perspective about the only way for me to leave a more lasting legacy, I'm not going to get your words exactly right, but that you've got to learn. And the more you learn, the more you can give. The more you can give, you know, maybe the more impact building your legacy, it will be. I just wanted to share, you know, one of the things, you know, we could run a weekly podcast on Kobe Bryant and how he lived his life and his mindset and his work ethics and habits, and probably not run out of content for quite a while with that. Real quick, Jay, I know that we do kind of have a small time crunch with this. I'm interested. You released a book since we've started. I know that you worked on the book probably since we have started talking and recording. But what is going on with your book? What's going on with your book? Then we'll ask how people can get it and things of that nature.
Yeah, so in my learning, what I've heard is, I actually listened to Bob Proctor, who is another guy that I'm sure you know his name. And for those that don't, he's just another guru in this game of learning. He was having a conversation with Eric Thomas, and he was like, "Are you still selling your little book?" And E.T. was offended. Like, what do you mean? I'm a kid from Detroit. Nobody from my neighborhood has written a book. What do you mean? And the way that he said it, the way that Bob Proctor said it to E.T. was, no one makes money off of selling books besides Chicken Soup for the Soul and The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And obviously he's being facetious, but I say that to say, I've actually gotten to the point where, per the organizations that are interested in bringing me in, I've actually started to use the book as more of a $10 business card. And now I'm at the point with, through workshops and different things, facilitations, the principles of the book are what I'm talking about more. And so if people are interested in buying a one-off book, that's fine. Reach out to me through the website or through my email. But the big push is now the principles in the book, having those be the anchor behind workshops and building relationships and doing the different things that people can truly add value to themselves, to their relationships, and to their businesses.
That's perfect. And how can people track you down? I know you still have your website, but I think you were redesigning it or doing some different work. Same URL?
It's in the works. So still jasonwells.com, Jason with a Y, JASONWELLS is still the best way. My email is jason@jasonwells.com. The morph in the website is really just putting more emphasis on workshops, different things that I'm doing. I'll send you the information if I didn't already. I'm actually having a workshop in a few weeks, 3 weeks from today on the 26th, called Parenting Athletic Professionals. Which is a very intentional play on words. Many of us parents are now trying to prepare to parent professional athletes, which is not going to happen. And so realizing those principles and values that should come out of youth athletics and how those are transferable into whatever industry or field that that child may go into once they become an adult. Those are the things. And so focusing on those rather than trying to raise a professional athlete.
Mm. Boy, that is the way you say that jokingly, but that sounds like a workshop I should attend.
I'll send you the information.
It sounds like, what other workshops are you doing for businesses? Like what is it that when people call you, when businesses call you and bring you in, what is kind of the pillar that you stand on
Everything, the anchor to everything is going to be purpose. That just is what it is. And I think it's really cool. Even still, you know that Simon started my journey of why I would start with why the book and the TED Talk. But it's been really cool on my own personal journey to still study Simon and to see where his delivery and presentation is different from my delivery and presentation. So, that's an anchor I'm calling it the journey of purpose. Mm. And then the other team/organizational things, and they're all intertwined, but I'm calling it the power of people, which are, principles of building and sustaining a winning team. And then I have one that I'm calling Coaching Champions, which is leadership, whether a leader is called a CEO or COO or senior leadership team, or whether that leader is called a head coach or the athletic director. So Coaching Champions is the leadership based and the things that we can do to make sure that we're leading our teams in ways that are going to be beneficial. And obviously that starts with, how am I getting better as a leader? Yeah. How am I getting better as a coach? I want my kids to get better. Or I want my team to get better. Or I want my staff to get better. But what am I doing to get better?
Mm. So as you say that, I opened up my notebook that I carry around with me, that I take all my notes in from the content that I consume. And I open it to the last page. I'm going through a workshop right now on one of Maxwell's books. His dream book, and I don't have the exact title of his dream book here, but if I flipped long enough, I'm sure I'd find it. But essentially what he talks about is this, we'll leave it with this. We don't have to go real deep onto this, but it has me thinking about you when I opened it up. I think it's very clear to me, and I wish it was more clear to me about my own dreams, but it is clear to me to a certain extent. I don't know with absolute clarity what Jason's dream is. But in talking with him for this hour, I have an idea of what his dream is, and knowing him as well as I do, I know what his dream is. But this is a quote from Maxwell in this book about, reaching your dreams or living your dreams. One of the chapters is called The People Question. And there's all these questions that he has, the people question, the passion question, the pathway question, and these different questions that are the titles of each one of his chapters. This one says, and what he says here is, I have included the people that I need in order to reach my dream, right? And it has me thinking about Jason in terms of the words that he has used for the past 3 years. jumping, of not only jumping, but then being connected and connecting with people. And then his word of the year this year is to build, but to build those relationships and to build those businesses and to build those opportunities or whatever it might be. But it really is, yeah, you are the best I've seen in terms of talking with you and seeing you in action of really, I think, connecting with people, building relationships. You know, the two words that you've anchored you for the past 2 years. But because of that, you need those people in order to reach your dreams. Mm-hmm. Whatever dreams you have carved out for yourself. And I'm doing this workshop now on this book, and it's really impactful. But you got to build a team. You have to build a team in order to reach your dreams. Mm-hmm. I think what he says is your dream is just too big for it to be for you. The exact quote Maxwell says is your dream is just too big for you. The dream you have, whatever it might be, everybody listening to this, if you have a dream, your dream is too big just for you. That you need people, you need a team, you need a group around you. And I know without question, if you've listened to this intensely, if you've listened to Jason today, this hour, he's talked about the groups of people that he's with and that he's connecting with and the workshops, like, that's not all. Like, he's building his team because the dreams he has are too big for just Jason, right? He needs people. He needs resources. He needs a perspective. He needs, opportunities of other people to open doors. And so that just had me, whatever, I opened my book up, but you were talking about your workshops. And I know the people that you're connected with now and the people that you're leaning with now. And again, I've said this before to you. I'm excited about your 2020 because I know how this story ends, right? I know how this ends for you. And so it's going to be exciting to watch. But you can track Jason down, jasonwells.com, right, Jay? That's what we said, yep. jasonwells.com. Jason and I will make this promise. I haven't asked him about this, but we'll make a promise to make these as regular as they used to be. Because I know that it's therapeutic for me. I'm ready to, it's Wednesday, man. I needed this Monday morning at 7 a.m., to plan the day. There's a lot to unpack from this for me today, but I'll tell you this, I need to get back on being more intentional with my mornings. You know, I've done many podcasts talking about my bookends, the bookends to your day, how you start your day, how you end your day. That is what essentially will frame your day. And, my bookends are really, they're really shitty. I mean, I don't know how else to frame it. You know, they're just not, you know, I wake up and that phone's in my hand and Instagram and Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter. And that's how I bookend my morning. I bookend my day by watching, like last night. Here's me just throwing myself under the bus. Last night, I had an incredible opportunity to connect with on a better level, a deeper level with my girlfriend and her daughter. I'm sitting there watching Duke play Boston College. They pull out Clue, the board game Clue. They put it on the table in front of me. What did I do for that 30 or 40 minutes? I watched Duke play basketball. Right? I mean, when we talk about raising standards, it was the first thing I thought of.
Yeah.
We talk about raising our standards and being a best version of you for yourself. So Jason can sit there and say, it's who you become at 2018, 19, and 2020 and who I became. But I'm sitting around saying, man, I'm going to raise my standards this year. And how can I do that every day? One, it's just going to be observant to the opportunities to raise your standards. But I sat there and watched Duke play basketball last night. Not going to lie. I watched Duke play basketball last night. What was more important for me to raise my standard? To connect with my girlfriend? More intensely and to connect with her daughter, and having that purpose and sit there and have a good time playing Clue. What would have been the best case scenario last night? Turn that game off and be locked in on them. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. That would have been the best. And then I sat there and said, hey, I'm going to leave. It was like, it was 7:45. I'm going to leave. And I left last night after watching Duke play. They were still playing Clue. I said, I gave her a kiss goodbye. I left and she wanted me to stay longer. And I said, I really want to get home to watch the State of the Union. Right. Mm-hmm. I just did. I wanted to see, you know, I have my opinions politically, but I wanted to see what little sideshow we were going to have going on last night. I'm sorry for that. And what would have been better for me? Mm. Well, how could I have raised my standards on that relationship? man, that's just throwing me under the bus. So one, I hope that it's probably Maxwell, because I'm just consuming so much Maxwell content right now, that says at the end of the day, you need to sit down and really be reflective on your day. And I think Jason said this earlier, you need to reflect on your day on how you could have connected more, served more, provided more value, you know, and left, you know, people better. And how could you have done that in every sort of situation? I dropped the ball last, you know, if I were to sit back with a notebook last night, laying in bed at 7:45 and sat there and thought about the opportunities I missed yesterday, man, that would have been the first two at the top of the list. Mm. Right. And you just beat yourself up on it, you know, just opportunities to impact your team, your people, your relationship, your children, all that, it's right there in front of you. And if you're not real reflective on it, shame on you. You know, and really shame on me. You know what I mean? I'm sorry. That's a total sidebar, but man, it had me really
think. No, it's not. Is the name of the Maxwell book, Put Your Dream to the Test?
Put Your Dreams to the Test. Yeah.
So yeah, I just pulled it up. And so it's not a sidebar. It's what I found that we all need. And you are a person who, I told you this before. When you said, episodes ago, you told me, how do you find a way to consistently tap into the things that inspire you?
Mm, right.
That was a question you asked me in casual conversation. And I have taken that, and that's become one of the things that I talk about consistently, is asking people that. And so you being one of those people who, in your own ways, tap into the things that consistently inspire you. But here you are still saying, here's an opportunity for growth. And so that goes back to where I feel like the beauty of knowing there is no finish line to this journey. When I talk about the journey of purpose, there is no finish line to it. Mm. Because no matter where you are, hopefully you have enough self-drive, but you're always at this point where you're wanting to grow, you're wanting to develop, you're wanting to enhance, you're wanting to just get better at who you are, because now the better I am, the better I present myself and show up around the people that mean the most to me. So, and you mentioned this, and I'll finish with this. My one thing that I did tell myself that I was going to do on New Year's is I told myself that I was actually going to, and you may remember this, I was actually going to disconnect all of my social media or Instagram.
I remember seeing that on social media, probably at 5 a.m. as I flipped through Instagram.
And I got DMs and text messages, you know, please don't, you know, you're so inspirational, you're so this. And so what I decided to do was, okay, I won't do that, but I am going to stop scrolling. And since January 1st, the only picture that I'll like is the first picture that comes up on my timeline when I log in to post. So since January 1st, I have been posting and leaving. Mm. I don't look through stories. I don't scroll through pictures. And I know you have an Android, but I have an iPhone, and iPhone has this feature where it will tell you your weekly summary of how long you've had your phone in your hand and what you've done. Hmm. The first week of not scrolling, my screen time was down 72%.
Wow. Right.
And has gone down since then. Every week, actually last week was the first week it told me that I went up 6%, but you can go in and it'll tell you like where, and it went up 6% because I spent more time in my notes and on YouTube, which it calls entertainment. But my social media, I post and leave. I'll post my story a couple times a day if I post a picture, but I have not been scrolling. When I scroll, I scroll on LinkedIn instead of
Facebook,
Instagram, Twitter.
All right, man. There's a lot to unpack here, a lot to challenge myself with. There is. I've missed you, man. I've missed you a lot. I think you are, and I said this when we started, 3 years, you know, I've known you for 3 years. I haven't seen you face to face for about a year. I haven't talked to you for 5 to 6 months, and you're still one of the most more impactful people in my life the last 3 years. You're like top three. I'll put you in the top three.
I'll take that.
All right, track Jason down, because listen, not only is he impactful to me and what he's done for me, and essentially what he's done to, like, you use it all. Like, what he has done for me then gets disseminated out to my children, and then it gets out to my community, it gets out to the athletes I coach, and it gets out to the groups that I work with professionally. All because of one person, right? But I take it from a lot of people. But there is definitely a flavor of Jason with everything I do when I'm leading and speaking with people. And my message would be this. You're one person away. Like, meet people, connect with people, reach out to people, have conversation with people. Because it's that one person. It's that one person that will change a perspective, a conversation, a trait, a way you can impact your children, your teams, your community. And I'd say just hunt for that. Hunt for it. Like, you know, and I'm going to continue to do that because Jason's not the only one. He's just the one that is there is a flavor of Jason with everything I do with my kids and community and teams. Like, no question. So with that, Jason, have a great rest of your week. And let's make sure we schedule this again. And I appreciate you giving me that phone call a day or two ago.
Let's do it, bro. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
All right.